Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
No sound.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now. What's going on?
Oh, they're doing some shenanigans here with our stuff, so we're not surprised at that. So I'm on the other line.
Because of
what?
Big Night is what they're doing now.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, we know what they're trying to do. So we're going to go on ahead and do what we can do. Now, I want to give a shout-out to the staff of the African-American Athlete Show. They allowed me to come on and share some of the fears and ideas that some of the staff had. And as I say this, we got the captain of the MIG line, Tony McClain, in here as well. Tony, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm all set.
Okay. All right. So, gentlemen, it looks like this is going to be definitely a crime show night. Not only will Perry Mason make an appearance, but an episode of CSI. Cracker-ass cracker shenanigans investigations. Because there has been a whole lot of shenanigans, as Tony likes to say, going on. We got Radio Reggie in the mix as well. Reggie, can you hear me?
I ain't know Charlamagne Tha God was on tonight. Cracker ass cracker. A bunch of crackers going on tonight. Oh, is that Reggie on the line?
Come on.
Gentlemen, the trail all goes back to the Washington Football Club.
Yes, it does.
And all this stuff goes back to the Washington Football Club.
Gary, I got one question to ask you. If Al Davis was alive, what would he have done if he found this out?
He would have fired John Gruden.
So what does that say about his son? Gary. What does that say about his son?
Mike Gruden is a different animal. Yeah, Mark Gruden is a... Mark Davis is a different animal, right?
Yeah, but he's a different animal. That animal would be jackass, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a cracker.
What I'm saying is, the Las Vegas Raiders.
another dollar into the swear jar.
You know that. Yeah. But no, Mike, I got to say something, man. I really got to say something. Here in the East Coast and near the Washington football team about 100 miles up the road, not only should a Freedom of Information Act be active, but isn't it interesting that the most information we got out of Where's Waldorf, a.k.a. DeMars, is him being called Michelin Lips. Think about that. We couldn't find this guy.
You're right.
Kaepernick, we couldn't find this guy. When it came to all of them shenanigans with what the owners are doing to the NFL players, all of a sudden he's been talking about more this one couple of days than the last couple of years.
Let's be honest, we still haven't seen him.
Let's be honest, guys.
We still haven't seen him. All this proves is that his internet works.
That's right. That was too funny.
before we get into the meat and potatoes of this investigation, I bring to the court one Keyshawn Johnson, to make a statement before regarding his existence with John Gruden.
That email,
how many years ago,
was very disturbing. Here's a guy that I won a Super Bowl with and I played with. And I have my issues with him. Okay? Well documented. But at the same time, what he said about D. Smith is disturbing. It's unacceptable. And this is why in this country we are in the position that we are in as human beings, not only human beings, but as African Americans.
Amen.
Because we gloss over these sort of things and act like it's not that big of a deal.
Thank you.
I just wrote a book, The Forgotten First, talks about these same damn issues back in 1930.
Thank you.
And here we are in 2021 still dealing with the same thing. Yeah, it was 11 years ago. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. Everybody makes mistakes. Really? Everybody makes mistakes, huh? But not only do you mock the size of an African-American's lips, you also degrade owners in the National Football League as well as the commissioner. My concentration ain't only you talk bad about a black man. You're also talking about bad about people that own teams, run the league, the commissioner of the league, because he's a bad person. I tried to tell people this when I played for this man, but I was in the wrong. Keyshawn just a spoiled brat. Oh, Keyshawn just a diva. Oh, Keyshawn just wants the football. But here we are now, however many years later, and stuff is coming to the surface. I'm not going to let it just disappear because I was the bad guy, Jay. I was
Hello.
The one. I was the problem. Get him out of town. He's disruptive. But when you say stuff, people don't want to listen. They just talk about you. And now
Tony
look
Dungy.
Who we're dealing with. We're dealing
Mike
with
DeRusso.
Some race insensitive behavior by a head coach who many thought didn't even deserve the opportunity to coach the Raiders.
Come on.
But guess what? He did.
And the
and
fucking
now this
general
is what
manager.
We're dealing with. And, yep. and you got to deal with that locker room. We saw
mm-hmm.
yesterday on the football
that
field what that
was
locker room off. Turned out to be, which is an
yep.
L. You don't think that was heavy on them black players and some of the white players' mind? Hell yeah, it
and
was.
Gay boy. Don't forget the gay
players. Of course
players.
It was. That's
Come
why
on.
They went out there and laid an egg.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
they
how to leave an analyst. But as a player, regardless of whether I didn't hear you say that or not, the fact that I know that came from you in the midst of fury, I can't ride with you anymore.
No, you're not going to.
I
look,
can't ride with you anymore.
Look, this dude is who he is. He's a bad guy. He's a bad person. I can't call him a racist. I can't
he's
call
a
him
cracker.
That, but I know what you used.
Yeah, he's a cracker.
I know what you said.
He's a fucking saltine.
That's what I do know.
Thank you. Rich saltine.
You know, we how many people you hear say things and then say, well, that ain't me. That's not. Wait a minute, though, homie. You just said that. That came out your email, not my email. It didn't come. It went from your email to Bruce
Come
Allen's
on.
Email.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
And Bruce Allen
we know
ain't,
where
no,
it
ain't
went
the
to.
Boy either.
And if you know anything at all, you know that that came from you. So trying to backpedal, clean it up, be dismissive, and tell people you're tired of talking about it, you ain't going to talk about it no more. No, you're going to talk about
oh.
it.
You just started talking about it.
Until we're
talking.
Tired of talking about it.
Yeah, that's the thing, first of all.
You're not just going to brush over it. I don't give a damn what nobody say.
If you send
it's not cancel culture
email,
either.
Even if you harbor feelings, if you put that in an email, that is a curious choice. Then
well, he can go to work for Fox.
He points out,
why would you put
an
email to begin with?
No, he can go work for Fox. Let him work for Fox. They're hired. Him and Stage still.
Powerful guys going
Man, I don't even want, hey, Max, I don't even want to dive into the history of Bruce and his family.
Well,
let's
well,
leave that alone.
I think that's the point.
That's
right?
Fine.
It's not just it's that you think who
Keyshawn raping everybody. He getting everybody.
That's a sentiment like that. For example,
quote Dr. Evil, everybody getting turned today.
Everybody going out of date.
Something like that. He could at least try to make the defense, oh, we are informal, we joke around with each other, whatever, even if it's inappropriate. I'm sorry, I thought it was a private email. You know, but
he
sent it to someone.
If that had been Mike Tomlin, he wouldn't have a job right now. They'd have ran his ass out about charges again.
Adam Deckers would be fired right now.
That's interesting to me. Both points,
definitely.
The points you guys have brought up are illuminating. One, he said, and you hit it right on the head, the thing that, besides the offensive idea, the fact that he says, I don't want to keep addressing this.
No, but he's going
to
keep addressing
it. No, right, Key, but he's
man, right.
And he's going to
see him addresses
like
that.
Someone who has the power.
It's going
to
address him.
At this point, you're harassing
damn
him.
Damn right.
And now it's over. He does not
get won't be no
say.
Won't be no more quarterback.
It goes
won't be
all
no more
back
quarterback.
Always
yeah,
been talking
that's for
what
sure.
Been talking
no
about
more quarterback,
Ken. As he did, white privilege, man.
Yeah.
Okay? He's in that space.
No,
he thinks he can just stay and do what the hell he wants to do. Because for too long,
exactly.
The people in the National mm-hmm. Football League, the people who've been running these leagues, allow him to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? When I
that's
played
right.
for him, we won the Super
that's
Bowl,
right.
he became the golden child. He couldn't
mm-hmm.
do no wrong.
Yep.
It was everybody else's fault.
Yes, Gary.
But now,
your
he got caught
Gary.
With his hand in the damn
your franchise,
door.
Gary.
Yeah. And by the way,
right.
his defense is
I want
his
to.
Implicit defense when he says, I
nah,
feel
let it
good
a little
about
bit more.
What I've
let
done
say a little
my
bit more.
Entire
just
life.
A little bit more.
What I read into that is like, look, my behavior tells you I'm a good person. I don't harbor, you know, racial
bullshit.
You know, bigotry and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff in my own personality.
Privilege.
But once he says, I don't want to keep addressing this, what it suggests is he's calling the shots. And if he does cross the line,
go.
That's okay. Once he says he'll
that's
decide
right.
when
how
the conversation's over, as Key mentions, no, he doesn't.
White privilege.
Thanks for watching ESPN on YouTube. For live streaming sports
yeah,
and premium content, subscribe
nothing
to
else.
ESPN Plus right now.
Be quiet. Okay. So.
Hey, guys. On the weekend, they're reviewing all the games.
Of course,
yeah. I wrote down certain things that they were saying. ESPN to be off the air, period.
We ain't gonna see that. Too much money.
This weekend, there were seven games where white quarterback against a black quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. And the way they announced it, and the way they curved it,
mm-hmm.
I got the message.
Gary. Yeah. Why are
I
you
know,
so?
But I
no, but there's no but. Gary. There's
talk
no but
down,
here. There's no
mm-hmm.
but here. There's no
yep.
but here. Did they
yeah.
say anything that you were surprised at?
No,
thank you.
No. At all.
Then why do you watch?
Thank you.
Then
give
why
the, give
do you watch?
Program,
at some,
team.
Look, no, no, no.
Give
I'm not. I'm not trying to do. I, as God is my witness, I am not trying to do this to be little.
No.
My thing is, see, listen to you know. The thing is, you give them more power when you keep harping on
exactly.
on them doing what they always
they
do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. At some point, look, here's the deal. When Roland and the whole other bunch of folks put together BASN, then, you know, a.k.a. BASN Newsroom, this was to combat what was going on with these folks. They're not going to wake up one morning and have a come to Allah, come to Jesus, come to Jehovah moment.
Yep.
And you can't still be belittling them because they still suck from the racist teeth.
Yeah.
The thing see
here's the thing we need to do with here. What Keyshawn said is correct. We have to keep this. Okay, see, they will envelop this, and mainstream media will envelop it to a certain extent, and then they'll move on to the next one.
Exactly.
It is incumbent upon all of us here on this thread to keep this fire burning, keep people in regards of what that. And see, we don't need to keep giving them kudos, so to speak, while we're doing that. We have to use our own weapons.
Definitely.
We have to our weapons are our microphones.
T, I want to throw something at you. I think we can use this platform to call out the Tony Dungys and Mike Tirico's and all those Negroes out there that just couldn't break their neck to defend
Uncle
the
Don.
That,
well, I know, but see again, that's another long-standing tradition for years, whether it be politics, whether it be music or what have you. Finding the one black person that's willing to say, oh, no, it ain't all that bad.
You have to remember, again,
that is a long-standing tradition. Because that's just as much of white supremacy as anything else.
Because remember,
you don't necessarily have to be white to practice white supremacy. Let's just make that very, 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 very clear. Matter of fact, many of the ones who actually do it well are blacker than all of us.
You got that right.
And have no problem, making sure that they're, that they're out
Jesse
there.
Jesse Lee Peterson. That's right.
Oh man, what does it say about the masters? A tradition unto its own. Same thing with that. It's the same principle. What we have to do, we have to use our own weapons as being the black press to whatever. We're gonna now look.
Exactly.
See. I think the reason why I say we need to step back from them is because, I feel like, and again, this is just me talking. I feel like at times we feel like we're fighting this battle alone, and obviously we're not. But see, that's the implication, is that we're fighting this battle alone. And there are times when it does feel like, we're literally and figuratively, screaming into nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
But see, again, that's why we have to, again, I know it sounds like a broken record, but that's why we have to stay vigilant and stuff like this. Because, I think the one story out of all of it, there's a bunch of them, but there's two stories to me that are forming from this. And are being fired. Now, granted, Ralph Ellison, I mean DeMaurice Smith, is in the background. But the NFLPA is demanding that all of the emails be released. Here's the thing. The way that this will play out is that this is a quote unquote isolated incident, and you can kiss my isolated incident ass. as far as I'm concerned,
kiss my
black ass. Here's the thing about the quote unquote $1 million boys club and $1 million girls club. John Gruden's in their eyes, John Gruden's biggest crime was what's done here what's said here stays here. Now, but see, here's the little caveat. Somebody outed him. He rubbed somebody the wrong way, whether it was the league office.
Gary,
please let me finish.
All right.
Someone outed him in a sense because he felt comfortable enough to do whatever and to put himself out there. And someone, whether it be the league office, whether it be the Washington football team or another owner, or another coach, or what have you, somebody made a point to be like, this was going to be, he was going to be collateral damage. Because the most ironic thing, the very same folks who are alibi, who are feeling so butthurt in regards to what he said and everything else, they feel the same way.
Yes.
They feel the same way because, once again, they did not act, they didn't act in regards to the Maurice Smith thing. When he made the statement about gays and when he made the statement about women, that's when they went into, dare I say it, beast mode. And they had to, they had to backtrack faster than Dion, Kenny Houston, and all those guys, combined. That's what the next few, because see, the only quote unquote tragedy in this was that how the way it played out on Monday overshadowed something, and it put on the back burner something that we've always talked about in the, I hope folks saw Lamar ball out on Monday night. I'm so much of a conspiracy theorist that I almost think that they wanted to put that out there while he was going through that, because it's almost like we can't have that. Because see, again, even with them trying to play holier than thou and bigger than God, he said many, all the stuff that he said, still being said behind closed doors, still being implied in locker rooms and in media and in media rooms all over this country, not just the National Football League. They don't have a monopoly on racism, sexism, or what have you. But see, the thing here is it's the predictable way this stuff plays out is that they want to make it, again, think about it. How many more isolated incidents are we still going to have to be like, oh, this is isolated? How many more times? How many more people have to die? How many more people have to be what before you realize that it's not isolated incidents? And see, I know there will be people that will say, well, you shouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised. I'm just fucking tired, and I'm there tired. I think all of us are just tired of having to defend ourselves all the time, the thing that Keyshawn said that rings true, the fact that we are still fighting the same wars of our ancestors is real bothersome. And when you realize that there are there are white black folks out there that are willing to keep this thing going. That's the real sad aspect. All I'm saying is, in all of our whatever to go after the mouse, I get it. But see, the thing is, there's small potatoes in this.
That's right.
There's more to this than John Gruden, and we have to maintain that. Of course, because of sports, we can use that as a platform. But the bottom line is, we still have to remain vigilant. We still have to the sad thing is you know who the enemy is on the other side, but unfortunately in a lot of instances there's the enemy within that looks just like you, that talks just like you, that has the same sort of tries to come off as the same person, but will make sure that he or she does their part in keeping that white supremacy going.
Yeah.
I'm done.
And Mike, real quick, Mike, let's be honest. They be still on y'all shit every time y'all go on the air. So be prepared for the same stuff that you're giving out
now.
Well,
I'm not surprised by that, but
it's very exciting.
I want to add to the discourse. I want to add to the discourse Patrick Freeman, the mighty Oba, and, of course, my Kakalaki cousin, Professor Fred Wittit. Gentlemen, can you hear me okay?
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, I can hear you, liberal.
Hey, Pat. Hey.
Hey.
Don't go there, bro. Don't go there, man.
Hey, Pat, you ready to go to Kansas City for another road trip?
Never again.
Before you start.
The one game had a rain delay for 10 hours, and he's at that game. Unreal.
So before you start, because I want everybody to hear this, I put this to everybody. Now, if Anthony McClain, Gary Norris Gray, Patrick Freeman, Fred Wittit, and Reggie Walston were applying for a job that paid you $10 million a year, multiple years on a contract, you can't tell me that they would vet the shit out of every one of you. They would find out about your mama, your big mama, greasy granny, orphan auntie, everybody. And you're telling me that through all of this time, nobody knew nothing about that Gruden's dead? Stop.
Right.
White privilege.
Yeah. You know they knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you got to look at here is, and we've seen this before, whether we're talking about liberals or conservatives or just Yankee Doodle Dandies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about what you see or when you saw it and all that other kind of nonsense. Because there's this thing that is pervasive, and one of the few things I remember about my psychology, my whole DN psychology is built around certain little incremental things that keep cropping up.
Okay.
And one of the worst things that you have going for you or against you when it comes to dealing with psychological things, and that is, oh, I didn't see it. Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's not that bad. That's not what he really meant.
Yeah.
It's called, you know, it's just a duck. It's a lesson in ducking and dodging versus facing the facts. And it's so pervasive in our culture now that we had a situation, what, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question. Was it a riot? Or was
mm-hmm.
it a bunch of good old boys showing up at the Capitol?
Yeah.
And the ones who should be standing up for the truth and all that kind of good stuff, what do they say? Oh, that's not what they really meant.
That's right.
You're taking it out of context. Oh, now, my question is, one, is the police officer any less dead? Two, the young lady who got shot through the window, is she any less dead?
Mm-hmm.
Those are facts.
Yes.
Okay. Was somebody sitting in Nancy Pelosi's desk and different ones, people sitting without a mask on, of course.
Yep.
Now,
of
see,
course.
This is where their stupidity, on some of them, this is where their stupidity caught them. Because what do they say? Oh, I ain't wearing no mask. That's the rules.
Yep.
And now you're on camera. It's about you're on camera.
Right.
And you know, remember the guy with the I think the buffalo horns or something.
Yeah, he had the buffalo horns.
With all his smartness on this kind of stuff, and his boldness. I ain't wearing no mask. Okay.
Clearly,
no,
he's white.
Oh, that's not really him. Hey, oh, you know you
can't get in the way of that crackiness. Come on now. No, you can't get in the way of that sort of thing. And it's that same basis that lets everybody know, or should let everybody know, there's a whole lot of layers to this onion that must be peeled off. Because after he got hired, and the 6 years in which he worked, you got to go back to where it all started. Remember, this started out as an investigation of Washington. Because they did some dick bastardly shit there, got some women involved, snatched passports, you know, you're not leaving unless you give me some pussy, that kind of deal. And they never really talked about that. You know, when they had Michael Vick under by the crosshairs, oh, yeah, we're doing all this, we're going to have a personal investigation. Yeah, but nothing that happened like that with these cats from Washington. And remember, this was also parallel where Washington had done earlier regarding Robert Griffin III. He is the offensive player of the year, the offensive rookie of the year, excuse me, and everybody knows he's ahead of the grid. Of course, in the playoffs, Colin Kaepernick runs for over 180 yards and crushes the opponent. Why? Because of run-pass option. So the first thing they do is they get another racist, Jeff Fisher, to join the competition commission and dismantle the RPO and change the level of vulnerability to the quarterback being a runner. What happens? Griffin gets injured. Kaepernick did get injured, but they definitely was beaten on his black ass down to the white meat. And it's a definite change in policy. And then, as Jay Gruden, because remember, this is not about just John Gruden. Both of these Grudens, they're designer bubbers. They're rednecks to the core. They may be a little more classier about their shit in terms of how they present it. They're just as redneck as anybody else with the Confederate flag.
They just say you all instead of y'all. Now, go ahead.
There you go. That's right. No, the professor's right. And we have to see all of this because this is another layer of the Gruden shit. Both these Grudens are dirty. And he
Michael,
almost destroyed Griffin's career.
Go deeper than that.
Okay. Into the mix. Oba, what do you have to say about all of this?
Well, everything y'all saying is correct. And the league is a microcosm of the world and the nation. I mean, it's a good old boy network. They change the rules to protect that network and the shield.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it white male owned and operated. They've done that time and time again. If you remember when Walter Payton and I forgot the other guy's name. He was in line to be the owner of the not the
Wasn't Cosby part of that, or am I? Or is that another?
He was part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was the Minnesota Vikings, and they made sure that they changed the rules to exclude most of the people of color that could purchase a NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is nothing more than a high-paid plantation. And this is the mindset
mm-hmm.
that we've seen across the board, especially in media. All of you guys should have been given opportunities, including myself, by now. But we're excluded from those opportunities because white privilege and white supremacy continues to be the pervasive force that runs America and the world. And it's
mm-hmm.
still, that is the problem. White supremacy, white privilege is still the problem. And when those players were uniting together and there was more and more of them week after week after week, it was getting more and more players that were protesting for Black Lives Matter and everything. It was the NFL owners that got together in the consortium and said, we've got to break this movement.
That's right.
And then the owner of the Buffalo Bills, Terry Pegula, stood up and said, I'm losing money because of this. And we have got to break this movement. And that's what they did. They targeted NFL players in the movement that would take the money.
Yep.
And they separated them from Kaepernick and Eric Reid and those that were dedicated to protesting and bringing about some form of social change.
Exactly.
This is not surprising. John Gruden was allowed to cut Keyshawn Johnson.
There you go.
He was allowed to take over a team that Tony Dungy built.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he wins the championship, he cuts Keyshawn Johnson and just threw him off the team.
He
didn't give no explanation. We released him because he was detrimental to the team.
And that's
no
not
explanation,
the first time.
Nothing. No.
That's not the first time. He did the same thing, Patrick. He did the same thing to Marquette King. Marquette King was a fucking Pro Bowl punter, and yet they cut his black ass because Gruden put his poison hands in all of this. Yes, that's another layer that also extends from this.
John Gruden, 4 years ago, when he gave the head coach of Raiders, he traded 20 players in 3 weeks. 20 players in 3 weeks were gone.
Yeah. 26 total.
How do you do that?
No, he did that.
Gary,
he did that on
purpose. Gary, the biggest thing he did in coming to Oakland was he showed once again, and it's happened around the league, that you put a person of color in a position of upper management, and you find out he really has no power at all. Reggie McKinney wanted to rebuild the team.
Come on.
And you allow Gruden to come in and run him out. Doug Whaley was the one that rebuilt the Buffalo Bills.
If you look at Doug Whaley's last draft,
time and time again, blacks in these positions really aren't in these positions at all. They're just being used.
That's right.
And Reggie McKinney, he ran him right out of the organization.
And the Raiders have not been the same ever since.
You got to take a look, and you all are talking about organizations and all those kind of things. You got to take a look at some of these organizations. I mean, I'm going to some NBA media guys right now, and one of the things you notice is in the section on ownership, even to partial ownership, you know, like the ownership consortiums or whatever.
Right.
Even those, very little black showing in there anywhere. Look at executives, very few blacks. And in one or two cases, you know, you got I remember Julius Erving is the vice president or something for Philadelphia. And two or three other
players.
Who are in executive positions and so forth. But flip to the next page. He's the only one on those two pages.
That's right.
And I hate to say this about him, but he's basically window dressing.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the, you know, and that's part of the prevailing situation with not only him, but with a lot of them. Because when you look through these scenes, you know, we got a black head coach. Yeah. What's the OCDC look like?
Exactly.
Okay. I know the enemy is in KC and one or two others out there, but where are the rest of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, to that point, Fred, this supposedly is supposed to ebb and flow with wins and losses. But, Patrick, your Buffalo Bills are doing all right now, so that should mean that some business should be coming your way. How come it's not?
Hey, you know why?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are really running the Buffalo Bills scouting department, everybody's raving about Brandon Bean, but his whole scouting department is black.
Mm-hmm.
The whole scouting department that runs the Bills is black. And the Buffalo Bills are a classic NFL organization that is white only. There are no blacks in upper management. They don't spend any money with black media here.
Yep.
They're not criticized for it at all, and everybody knows about it. I've been in meetings with politicians that are afraid to challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't have the ownership power and what goes along with it, you know, that's the biggest problem I see. And the NFL is an insulated good old boy network, which, Mike, you pointed out long ago. How in God's name do you operate as a 501c6? How?
There you go.
How?
That means not for profit.
They make more money than most third world nations, and
right.
they want to say, we po.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the latest deal here,
they've come and asked the taxpayers to pay for the total amount of their stadium. And then they said, well, we're going to contribute some. How are you going to contribute some? We're going to charge taxpayers PCL money. it's crazy. It's nuts. It's a pimp. It's the best pimp game going.
Yeah. Typically, I think you misspoke there, because typically it's not that they ask, they demand. And basically the rule of thumb is either you split with the money between your state, between your city, your county, and your state, or we will go to a city in a county in a state where they'll be more than happy to have all those, one, have all those millionaires move in.
That's right.
Have all those high-paid jobs move in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, see, even, you know, I had to explain a couple of years ago when we were getting a minor league baseball team. I said, well, what about jobs? I said, well, you know, the thing you got to think about is the team is going to play usually every other week, or at least at home every other week or every 2 weeks. So one is basically, say at their worst, it's 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I said, but they got good paying part-time jobs. Because, I mean, the game's gone. The game, you know, like one lady works at the library, which is right across the street from the baseball field. Well, she does one of those. Basically, she stands around for 3-4 hours and collects like 12-15 a year or something like that, an hour. But, you know, but she's a librarian. She's doing it, and she likes baseball. So she gets paid to do what she likes. And so at the end of the week, you know, she gets paid for work because, like, you know, the way the minor league works now, they don't work. They don't play on Mondays. So she works from Tuesday to Sunday.
But having said that, Fred, Patrick is in a situation where – as an owner of a media concern and connected to the team and been a long time covering the team, he should have had the supposed Reagan trickle-down effect of revenue coming his way. Oba, have you had revenue coming your way?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you a member of the Black media organization?
The Black journalists.
Yeah.
No cussing. Don't be cussing. I'll just ask you a simple question.
Yeah, I'll get ready to.
Fred, yes, I am, Fred.
Okay. And they're not stepping up and stepping in and calling out.
No.
Okay. From my perspective as a non-journalist, what they got to lose? Because if they already ain't getting no money from these people, well, what they got to lose by calling them out?
They already lost.
Thank you for joining us.
They already lost.
You know,
lost.
Right.
That's like saying no before the question is asked, you know, and then wonder why you don't get anything.
I agree, but they've been defanged for a long time. There's a reason why I did not join up with the local faction of the so-called Black journalists, because they are a waste of fucking time and space. I hate to say that, but I'm saying it because I lived in that situation and I saw what I saw. Now, they'll party at the drop of their fucking hat, but talk about real work, I don't think so. And that's one reason why I kept myself separate and distinct from that nonsense. But, Tony, I say this knowing that as we cover the NFL, we've had to deal with impediments in this regard. And Black athlete has mostly been stifled because their independent voice rather than somebody who's going to follow the status quo and go, yes, boss, and me, boss, et cetera, et cetera. Are you there, Tony? Tony, are you there? All right, Tony's making a sandwich. But get back to the whole premise of this. You know, we got to roll back to when Kaepernick took the knee, because this is also part of that. You know, everything that happened with Kaepernick had to do with the fact that the invisible man, B. Smith, didn't get up off his ass to protect his union charge. And when it became strictly a union matter, they did nothing. And Eric Reed was collateral damage for that. He's still getting screwed, and he still doesn't have a job, in spite of the fact he's one of the best safeties, or was one of the best safeties in the league.
Michael, Colin Kaepernick could not get a job.
It wasn't that's right. Don't say he couldn't get a job. They wouldn't let him have a job.
Right.
This was sidetracked in a whole different direction. And now as Gruden is sacrificed, the other Gruden is still a redneck. That didn't change. He's still the design of Bubba. And those 650,000, whatever the hell number it is, emails, they become inconsequential too, because they're not going to reveal anything that we don't already know about what some privileged folks say about Black folks behind their back, or gay folks,
with Gruden talking about, you know, drafting queers and all that stuff, and how Michael Sam, but his one staff messed up his chance.
Everybody in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yes.
Did I hear correctly that Mr. Sam's has a job with the NFL?
He doesn't have one as far as I know.
I don't mean, I'm not talking about
it
as a player.
Oh, no, I really don't know. Now, he may have been, because when the lineman from Oakland, or rather from Vegas, Nassib, said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay. He said it as an afterthought. He wasn't swapping spit with his boyfriend like Sam was on TV, because he got caught up in Oprah poisoning his situation. They were never going to take him after he did what he did on TV. But see, that's the result of short-sighted thinking.
Because
Oprah was in the corner, he was going to
be embarrassed.
Yeah. So the NFL and their very conservative owners were not going to go for that. And we know that since Gruden said what he said, it was accepted. I mean, if he supposedly said D. Smith had Michelin lips, nobody said, damn, you know, that's wrong. Don't say that shit. No, they allowed it. It was nod, nod, wink, wink all the way. And this is what the professor talks about all the time. All these crackers talk about brandy and cigars in the country club. This is shit they say. And they know it's not going back because it stays among themselves. So the question remains,
somebody,
if it pleases the court, I got to answer the question.
I want to out-group. That's what this is about now.
Well, look, I got to look at it this way. What made them decide now to out-group? Because this has been common knowledge for years. I mean, we're talking 6 years. It was like from 2011 to 2018, they knew. And when he was hired by people who were like-minded. That's why I said, if Fred or you or Pat were going to interview for this job, they would already know what Patrick Freeman has, what Fred has, what everybody has. They're going to ask them questions about shit that maybe they weren't even expecting to hear, even though they knew that they would do investigation on them. These things have far-reaching repercussions. And all of these things add up to more sidebars from the total discussion. The thing happening to Gruden, I hate to say it, it's window dressing compared to some of the other stuff that's underneath this, and how much longer it will take before the rest of that stuff comes out.
Right. I agree with you, Mike.
Well,
100%.
So what is the next move for us to take to try to bring a remedy to this? Simply because, Gruden is just a pimple on the butt, so to speak.
Right.
He just
That's
won.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying earlier about these about the NBA team, you know, those first 5 or 6 pages of leadership and all those kind of things with the big pictures, where they got bios and whatnot, there's very few blacks there, whether they ever played in the league or not.
Yep.
Some of them, like Adrian Dantley's in there.
Yep.
And,
mm-hmm.
One of the media guys, Dr. J, of course, and a bunch of other you know, prominent names are in there as executives of one kind or another. But when it gets down to, you know, where the rubber meets the road as far as decision-making, all those kind of things.
Yep.
Ain't a lot of black folks in there. We know about the ownership, and that we don't even have to even talk about that.
Exactly.
The only thing that we own in the NFL is about five or six coaching jobs and more people in uniform than white folks on any given Sunday. So, I mean, that's what we got. But at the same time, though, how do we call attention to all this nonsense? Because, I mean, the average fan don't know and don't care.
Yeah. We have to help. We have to help out the union. It seems absurd, but we have to help out the union by doing exactly what Tony has always said. We must remain diligent and bring up the same points that we're talking about now. You know, why did you go out of your way to destroy Robert Griffin's career? Because they're responsible for that. When they changed the RPO, when they changed the level of vulnerability, it made him a victim. Now, Colin Kaepernick was bigger and he was stronger, but they went after him the same way they went after Griffin. And that's why this is a problem. And that's why it needs to be brought up, because it led to Jay Gruden being aggressive in getting rid of Robert Griffin. And believe me, he really wanted to get rid of him. You know, and then in the real corporate world, they would say that Gruden and Griffin, that would count as a personality conflict. So it would be, okay, whoever's the more important one.
But he had no personality, so how did he conflict?
Michael, okay, all right, let's fast forward 2021.
Okay.
You have Kyler Murray in Arizona. You have Trey Lance in San Francisco.
Right.
You have the young man in Philadelphia.
Hurts.
And you have Mr. Fields.
Yes.
Okay, now they got a problem because if you didn't like Colin Kaepernick, if you didn't like Robert Griffin III, what are you going to do with these guys?
But this is different, Gary, because they need them. See, they need General Jackson. He threw for 442 yards last night. And came back from a 19-point deficit
in just
a little over a quarter. See, he did exactly what the field generals were made to do. He went out there and handled business, and it was all covered up by the fact that they had to spend the bulk of the time talking about how Gruden was sacrificed. Oh, it's a dark day for the Raiders. Fuck you. You know, it was a dark day when you hired this motherfucker. That's the problem. But, Patrick, I want to come back to you with this because I think being out there and seeing a situation where it went from bad to worse and then seeing the league taking care of itself, people don't realize living in an area like this where you're affected. I mean, Buffalo could have done better if they had built that stadium inside as opposed to outside.
Yeah, no doubt. And they're still, you know, like, you know, the professor Fred Whitted has said, these people make demands. They're demanding that you give them $1.5 billion to build a stadium out of nowhere, and they control it. And you can't use their plan as a private investment deal because it's not profitable. The plan that we presented is a profitable plan. They reject that plan. Oh, they don't want to use that. I want your tax dollars, and I want to control the entity and make money off of your back at the same time. And they're being allowed to do it. We pulled the Pegula's campaign contributions top to bottom. Across the state of New York, they paid off all your politicians, including the governor.
I'm not surprised. Where would you
who do you go to?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you go
That's
to?
Not surprised.
I mean, the only way our plan works is if we get approved for the money. We're trying to do that, but the way that they rolled this out, they have the advantage. They have because they have not given anyone else an opportunity to present an alternative proposal or the time to present an alternative proposal, because you're talking about funding, presenting a plan to an investor, and you're asking for about $3 to $5 billion. That's not going to happen overnight.
Hey, Pat, real quick, y'all had an investor, but unfortunately that individual passed away. If he hadn't passed away, you had somebody in place ready to roll if they had okayed it, didn't you?
Well, he had the bulk of the money. He didn't have all the money. He had the bulk of the money. That was ready 8 years ago. Now, the plan is still on the table, but the way he rolled it out, you've got to try to get investors to try to counter what these clowns are doing here in Western New York. And because they paid off most of the politicians, they're going to try to get them that money. I think that's the whole modus operandi, to fund a stadium that only make money for them.
So it won't be no closing the dome. It's going to be an open-air stadium.
It's an open-air stadium across the street from the same place where they play.
Unreal.
And that will not help anybody. There's no public transportation component to get there. It will only be used 8 to 15 times a year. As you all know, that's not a profitable venture for anyone other than the owners of the team.
I remember you making a point about the Super Bowl in Indianapolis and how well they have prepared everything. Can you elaborate on that?
Everything was connected. They worked together to produce that entity until the pandemic. It was one of the most profitable ventures between a region ownership and what they did. They created a public-private partnership and connected it and expanded the convention space of Indianapolis. Wow. And that's the proposal that we mimic to try to bring here.
Yeah.
But you find out that it makes sense to people like us, but people that are continue to rape people like us, they're not for this at all.
Yeah.
You know, they want the tax deal.
How many Super Bowls had the Indianapolis franchise hosted?
Just one at this stage. They've been finalists.
But they're alive for another one, though, aren't they?
They have not gotten another one yet. And you know what? Before the pandemic, they were making just as much money. I don't know how many Final Fours have they had. They host the NFL Combine every year.
They
have events going. I think they had 141 extra events at their facility. And, you know, it's good to have a Super Bowl because you make a lot of money, but they're continuing to roll with or without a Super Bowl. So
they done paid for the stadium.
That stadium only cost $723 million.
Stadium's paid for. Damn.
The cash cow. Moo.
Well, you know, they built that stadium with a food and beverage tax.
Where have we seen that before?
Well, they all agreed to it. I mean, Republicans and Democrats, and that's how they paid for the stadium. They instituted a food and beverage tax prior to the great meltdown of 2008. And then when the stadium opened, they began rolling multiple events through there, and that's how the stadium has done well. But since the pandemic, remember, they floated a lot of, monies out there. They've got the same troubles as everybody else with the lack of events going on.
Exactly.
And keep
in mind that the stadium can only be used about half a year other than playing football because the snow is usually too deep.
True. That's right.
Where?
So they'll be at the mercy of the element.
If you could get some black folks together and do some kind of something like on the line of a black ice capade, you'd be in.
Yeah.
Where are you talking about, Professor?
Out there in Orchard Park.
Orchard Park. Up there in Buffalo.
Well, and I'm saying that sarcastically because, I can remember when the Bills in the early 70s, the Bills played downtown. And they moved out there. I mean, you can relate to this, Patrick. When you land at the airport, if I'm not mistaken, you cross over the stadium. So the airport is between the stadium and Buffalo.
Yes, you do see it. Yeah, absolutely.
When I flew up there, they were getting pretty close to finish building it, and my first thought was I had taken one of those community development classes in school at Winston-Salem State, so you know I'm looking at this makes no sense because we're landing inside the circle, so to speak, of the highways and so forth that run to the stadium, and so the airport is closer to the town than the stadium was. And this was 40 years ago, so it made no sense then. So it sure makes no sense now to go that far out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we pulled the plans from there was a committee that was formed in 1968, and the plan was to put two dome stadiums in downtown Buffalo. That's how crazy people who don't study this stuff. There were supposed to be two dome stadiums in downtown Buffalo. There were supposed to be the dome stadium for the football team, and then they were trying to attract a baseball team there, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up in the 80s, they ended up building Pilot Field, and they never got a Major League Baseball team, but the original stadium that they were looking at building, first they said downtown Buffalo. Then they settled on a Lancaster site. Then there was a major corruption trial. People went to jail, and they ended up building a $23 million stadium in Orchard Park, which opened in 1973. Now, that stadium, that design doesn't last. It's very similar to the design they used to have in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And that design doesn't last long. And
no,
there's some serious infrastructure problems and everything else. And these new owners put an ad in the newspaper showing all this stuff. But if you remember, 8 years ago, we talked about all of the infrastructure problems. The stadium was falling apart. The foundation was shifting.
Mm-hmm.
But when blacks talk about it, you're called a troublemaker. Since the Pagulas start talking about it, they're pointing out all the deficiencies. Yeah. So now they're using it as a leverage point. You're either going to do exactly what Fred Wood had said. You're either going to do what we tell you to do or we're leaving. And
that's right. Help them
that
pack.
That stadium could fail an inspection by the NFL at any time. There's some real problems here.
Mm-hmm. And, oddly enough, this is another level, another layer off of what we saw, because one thing you don't want to be is busted. Detection is the one thing you don't want. You want to be able to go on and carry on your dick-dastardly business without any interference from anyone. To what Reggie said earlier before he left, BASN has been under scrutiny for the longest time. Tony knows that because he's handled the mantle of this for a long time. And as this becomes more and more important, the effort to silence us becomes stronger, because we're an independent voice. Now, there are others among us who are independent voices, and they've been stifled by the league simply because they don't want the story to get skewed. When Groom got busted, it's because somebody wanted him to get busted. This didn't happen overnight. This took six fucking years.
This is shit. That's why you got over 450,000 of these motherfuckers. This happened over a long time. Somebody decided to do something because. The because we don't know yet. But this is why the Sly and the Family Oliver Stone conspiracy hats are being put on. Somebody wanted this to happen. Somebody wanted this to happen. Tony, are you there? He's having a conspiracy sandwich. All right. Well, having said that, I want to get back to what was going on down in D.C. Now, Reggie, you were in D.C. during that Gruden madness, at least being in Richmond. How much did the media make about that? And did they just write it off when Griffin lost his spot? Or did they raise a stick?
No, because Robert Griffin was kind of shooting himself in the foot, too. That's when his dad, Team Gruden, them were doing the Subway sandwiches, and he was more concerned about his image off the field rather than on the field.
Okay.
Now, this is not excluding Shanahan and that group, but the whole situation, if you remember, he got hurt against the Baltimore Ravens and never recovered. And then that time he pulled up on the sidelines and got tattooed and tried his best play, I think, in the playoffs. Really hurt his stock as well as his career.
Yeah.
Now, just kind of fast forward. Robert Griffin now, to his credit, is doing a halfway decent job on TV. You know, as a matter of fact, I was happy when he was doing the Central and I believe the Prairie View game, or was the Alcorn game. He was a part of that picture.
Okay.
So he did get a little lesson about HBCU, which was pretty cool. But I would say this, in my humble opinion, Bruce Allen needs to be not only checked out what he said, but also Daniel Snyder. They've been sending Netflix pictures of cheerleaders. Now they can't have cheerleaders on the squad because of the racist and homophobic actions of, Snyder and some of his administrators. He's since been fired. And like I said before, we need the Freedom of Information Act because there's a lot more dirt going on. Because you cannot tell me the NFL commissioner is not trying to protect somebody. And
guys,
more than
NFL
just Bruce. And I guarantee you, Bruce Allen and his Dick Dastardly dirty deeds is saying some stuff behind the scenes. And you better believe a bunch of people now, as Over can tell you, are scrubbing them email accounts left and right so they can be crystal clean. But I'm
this
sure some stuff
has
got leaked out.
For a very, very long time. The first Super Bowl I attended in 1992, there were guys in media collecting $50 because they had a floor full of supposedly empty rooms that they had filled with prostitutes, and all you had to do was give that 50 up, and you were going to get a blow job or whatever it was, happy landing, whatever the fuck it was, during that time. I know because they asked me if I wanted to contribute. I'm serious. And I said, no, thank you. I can provide my own trouble.
Hey, look.
But
hey,
they
look,
were
you
down.
Don't
they were
send them back
that.
Home that you can't explain.
There's no question that they had the intentions behind all of this. And, Gary, I got to ask you, since the fallout from Gruden, how has that affected what the Raiders are doing out on the West Coast? How much are they spending time talking about it?
Well, I have no idea. Because when they moved, to Las Vegas, the vibe between the ones that can't stand the Raiders and the ones that love the Raiders. So you have this international divide now.
Well, you like it or not, Jerry, they still got a strong following in the Raider Nation. They still got a lot of people following.
I believe there's more Raider fans in Los Angeles than it is up in Oakland now.
Okay.
Yeah, Los Angeles is huge. They left there a long time ago. You got
more people in LA back is what they do up here.
Well, if we see what's happening here, the next step that this has to be, oh, now they got noise all in here. The next step has to be, what's going on with Bruce Allen since he was his homeboy? Now, we know Bruce Allen was connected with George Allen and the old Rams and old Washington team. But now, if he made connections with Allen like that, then you know Allen made connection with the other guy who was the running buddy, the CEO of Hooters. And that leads to other things and other sidebars and other distractions, as we seem to be getting interference here on a blog talk feed.
Are you talking about the Glazer family?
White noise. You got white noise going
on. Well, yeah, we got noise from white. It's more like it. But I digress. Having said these things, as we push further, what do you think will be the next big press conference? We already know Gruden is toast. We already know his name has been taken from the so-called Ring of Honor in Tampa. But once the Gruden story dies, there's another story that's got to fly. What do you think's going to be the next story?
I couldn't tell you, Mike.
I don't believe
that. I have no idea either.
I mean, am I by myself? Do y'all hear this noise too?
I hear it loud and clear.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy here, because this is what these motherfuckers do. You couldn't stop me from getting on the air.
It's separate and distinct from all it is.
Yeah.
This is just background noise.
Yeah, well, it's annoying background noise, and they know it's annoying background noise.
What is it?
I mean,
Well, first of all, let me make sure I got everybody online. Tony, can you hear me? Tony, are you there? Gary, can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. Pat, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Professor, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Reggie, can you hear me?
To the moon.
Okay. So, no matter what happens, the NFL season will carry on. We know this. What we want to know is, how the players are going to be affected by this. You look in a locker room like what the Raiders have right now, and they know that their coach wasn't shit. And they got to know that their coach that's going to replace them wasn't shit. Now, we saw what happened with Jacksonville after that Matt Jones cocaine shit. And the locker room was nothing, and they went from a potential playoff team to going 4-12, if I remember that season. This was also a team that had three black quarterbacks, David Garrard, Byron Leftwich, and Quinn Gray, and they had a black executive in Shaq Harris. And all of that got trashed because of this white boy.
Yep.
The black players union, there is a black players union. Until they jump up and say, okay, enough is enough. We're not taking it anymore. Stop the game. And that's what Colin Kaepernick was doing 5 years ago. Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
Cost these guys money. When you cost them money, they get angry.
Gary,
well,
I bet you.
Hey, they're not going to do it, Gary. You remember?
No, but Lord, Gary.
Do you remember the protests of the '90s when Craig Hodges went to Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan and all them and said, hey, we got the power. Let's sit this out. What did they tell you? Are you crazy? I got to feed my family.
Yeah.
These guys don't stick together.
Well, hopefully, you know, with what they're trying to do with this thing, trying to release these other emails, that, you know, hopefully that can be the – because, see, again, if you – again, everybody keeps trying to play the isolated incident thing here, and sorry, it's not – you know, it ain't an isolated incident. It's never been an isolated incident.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It's not been isolated. But what they want to do, at least what I think they want to do, is make sure that this Gruden thing runs a course. Now they got different sidebars going out. You got Jason Whitlock making clown videos of Randy Moss crying about the situation that happened.
God forgive me. He is such a gutless bastard. He really is. He is such a gutless bastard. He really is. I mean, you know, if there's this way, my gift for Christmas, you know, if you want to give me a real good gift, Christmas present, I'd like to see his nuts roasting on an open fucking fire.
You got that right. Merry motherfucking Christmas. Yeah. But this is the kind of stuff they're talking about. They are degrading the impact of the situation. I don't give a fuck whether or not Gruden has his name on the fucking Ring of Honor in Tampa. All of that shit means nothing to me because it takes away from where this thing should be going.
It's symbolism. Yes. Symbolism that you know that white folks think they're making a statement. No, they're not. No, they're not.
T-Mac, actually, they are making a statement because it's one of those things you do in debate where you throw something out there and see how they react. And at the end of the day, if by chance the right response doesn't come from the audience, so to speak, the next thing you're going to hear is, oh, we already took care of that. If they come back the right way, oh, we got to do something else. We got to, you know, they're actually making real demands.
Let's put it this way. I'm anxious. You'll see, if a year from now, because see what's going to wind up happening, Mike. A year from now, we're going to get the whole Tom Brenneman thing, where he's punished. He's been punished enough.
Exactly.
He's been, you know, it's time to give him a warm embrace, and of course, they'll. You know, they'll find some Burl Ives looking black man to, you know, start singing Negro spirituals and they'll, you know, bring him back into the fold.
Yes.
And see, Tony, that's exactly what I'm talking about. They'll come back and do stuff like that. And at the end of the day, Mark Jackson still won't have a basketball team. Remember, we were talking about football, but it's pervasive in all the major sports.
Exactly. That's what we were talking about that before you came on. Because stories like this, you know, and you know, we're all in the media. We all know, you know, there's sort of like a 5-step kit in stories like this. First, the story itself breaks. Then there's the initial outrage. I'm appalled. Danny, you know, Stage Street. Remember that robot chicken skit, Mike. We haven't. Now I don't think we've gotten to the I'm gonna start biting guys in the face mode yet, but it's getting there. But yeah, they're going to try to run its course, and as an aside, and maybe I'm foolish for saying this or whatever, I would not count out the Raiders to make a run. I don't know why. I just, you know. I know. On the surface, and you say to yourself, oh, this is burying them. But see, you got to remember the kind of tension that's been on that. Because see, you know that there's other players and other folks that have known about this stuff for years.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And basically, you know, the fungus has left the building, so to speak.
Yeah.
And take it up this way. They're either going to rally around this or they may get swallowed up. But see,
I got a question about Mayock. The man, that guy should not have been the general manager.
I would agree with you, but I don't see the quarterback position. I have a problem with the quarterback position.
Eric Carr
is a good player as long as you don't put pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
You put pressure on Eric Carr, he'll go like an accordion.
True. But see, there's two words that should scare the bejesus out of you, Gary. Nathan Peterman.
That
boy is shit.
That was too funny.
We got
Patrick Ferrand in the mix as well. And I don't know if Patrick agrees that he ain't shit, but I think otherwise as far as whether the Raiders do what they do or don't do what they do. Patrick, can you hear us?
Those damn cell phones.
We're gonna go offline with Patrick. Just hold on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's up,
you guys hear me now?
We hear you fine.
How about those damn cell phones?
Yeah, they work.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, you got a hell of a defense with them Cleveland Browns, boy. That's a hell of a defense.
Yeah. First of all, hopefully everybody's okay.
We're good. Patrick, checking our emails as we speak. That's what we're doing.
Bruce Allen on line two.
with the proliferation, as we talked about before, of these shows of various kinds on TV, of talking about quarterbacks, that drives me out of my freaking mind. They talked about particularly what happened to Baker Mayfield, what did he do? Well, my response was, let's see, did he play defense?
The guy only on interceptions.
Any team that puts up 42 points and you lose, well, I ain't looking at the offense. It was a great game and they'll do it right. But I guess we've dipped into the conversation about the urban redneck known as John Gruden.
Actually, you've been popping it up about the start of the NHL season, but we'll bring it up.
Well, when it happened, I called Mike immediately, and Mike almost dropped the phone when I called him. But what happened?
Those damn cell phones.
a limited discussion agenda. You guys have beaten like red meat on, you mm-hmm. know, by like yeah. a grandmother beat red meat. I will say
Come
this.
On.
The idea of where John Gruden has been, you know, spit up and chewed out.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know, the real deal of this whole thing
Come
is
on.
Not him.
Yep.
There you go.
Those other 600 or more thousand emails that they won't let released, that's what they really want.
That's
because
right.
At that point, it goes back to, forget John Gruden, look who else is involved. You know,
mm-hmm.
now last night, if you were on the, if you were on your laptop last night for about maybe 2 hours, You couldn't do anything. You called the service. You said something's not working. What happened last night, those 2 hours, were IT people from all the professional football teams, owners, telling them to erase everything they could about
it. That's right.
So because they know
damn
if they let all the stuff out that's out, believe me, John Gruden was a footnote to what really would happen.
John Gruden looked like Frederick Douglass at the end of the day after listening to these guys.
You know that's right. But you know, in our business, fellas, there's a phrase called burying the lead. And in the midst of Patrick making that call to me, and in the midst of other factors that were mitigating that had to do with the depth of that call and what had happened that night, we were remiss in acknowledging that business was taken care of by the field generals.
Yeah.
That's right, baby. Penn Hunt. Let's not forget that Lamar Jackson, who still keeps getting shit and still keeps getting heat because they don't like his dark black ass. And I say black, I say dark black ass.
Yes,
threw for 442 yards, completed 85% of his passes, and came back from 19 down in a little over a quarter to defeat Carson Wentz and the boring shit and the Indianapolis Colts.
Mike, just one question.
Yes.
Has he had it legally changed to that now? I mean, isn't it about time?
Hey, listen, even Landlin says the boring shit. If the lamb is telling the truth, you can't argue that.
I know, but take
no,
a, I know, but take
son,
up
I
a
like the way it rolled off your tongue, son. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, I know. It would take a couple of lines off. I know it would take a couple of extra lines on his MasterCard, but still, I mean, you know,
keep up the good work, Mike. We're gonna have you on Saturday Night Live hosting Saturday Night Live, Mike. Keep up the good work, Mike. You've been on Saturday Night Live hosting the show.
Let's remember, out of all of the black quarterbacks, Jackson is the one they really don't want to see succeed. See, they can handle Mahomes because Mahomes is light bright damn near. His father was a professional baseball player. You know, he's high profile, but he's low key because he's born from the Midwest. So they can handle that. Jackson is urban. Even though he went to Louisville, he gives an urban vibe off. He knows what the fuck it is. He knows who he is, and he refuses to let anybody tell him who he is. So all of those are strong qualities, and let's be real, the NFL resents that shit. You know,
Mike,
they can handle. Yes, good, Patrick.
Let me follow up with that.
Please.
I wanted to touch on tonight. With what you just said about Jackson, which I was hoping to talk about, but the transformation of Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers will be the face of the NFL as we proceed.
That's what they want. That's right.
The face of the NFL. Now, take nothing away from the young man.
No, I like his game.
Exactly.
He can play.
Exactly.
But he is the prototype. and exactly. In the profile what they want. 6'6", 235, Los Angeles kid. You know, blonde hair, quiet, low key, 4.0 student college. You know,
they are pushing you here, pushing you every day, every week.
Yeah, and like you said, Patrick, the irony is the boy can play.
Yeah,
the boy can play.
He got game.
And so, it's sort of like with kids. He's like a kid in a sense of, you know, he hasn't been corrupted yet. You know, but then again, he's in L.A., so how much more corrupted can he be, I suppose? But yeah, that's the paradox here, because you want to sort of embrace him because of the way he plays the game, but you also know that ulterior motive is back there because, you know, they're always going to try to make him bigger than life, bigger than you all.
That's right.
So, you know.
Hey, well, I know Jimmy Porto for the 49ers. Look at him.
Gentlemen, I have not heard you all mention the young man who was drafted out of Clemson for Jacksonville.
Fred, is that before half his coach is doing happy dance?
Fred,
you mean that guy with the arms?
The only other person that is happier than Keyshawn Johnson about John Gruden leaving is Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
That's right.
Because
of the heat
off his legs.
I'm surprised he's not leading the moral perpetuity charge here.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But make
hey,
no
bones
about it.
Hey, Patrick, quick question. Mm-hmm. Can Dusty Baker finally bring it home? I mean, I'm not saying something, but I am praying for Dusty to bring it home. And now they can't say nothing about the Astros cheating.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to deal with that because since I've been 5 years old, sitting in my dad's lot watching Dodgers, I'm a diehard Dodgers blue fan. But you know, that's a play for the Dodgers.
This is what baseball is stupid.
I didn't quite hear you clear there, Gary. Say it again.
I didn't get the gist of it, but apparently it's somewhere along the lines of the key words here are baseball and stupid. Let's allow Gary to fill in the blanks of that.
Oh, God.
Okay, the baseball guys do not want black players, right? Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are in the final round of the playoffs, and the L.A. Dodgers win. Not one, not two,
do it, LeBron.
Three.
I'm telling you, game, LeBron.
Three.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous of you guys. Damn, I'm so jealous.
Let's remember this. The NFL Players Union is the weakest union in professional sports. You know.
Where's Waddle? Where's Waddle?
That's Mr. Lips
compared to Gruden.
Put it this way, Reds. Even Waldo fans, where the fuck is Damari Smith?
Exactly. But having said that, if this happened with MLB, we wouldn't have this conclusion. MLB would have shut this down, and it would have went straight to what the problem was. The NBA, I don't know if the NBA would have, but the NBA is a lot more stable than the NFL Players Union, so that wouldn't have been a problem.
Yep.
The NHL, they had not had a problem with any of this stuff. The last problem they had was Don Murdoch being busted for cocaine X number of years ago and shit. And now they got the issue of CTEs and whatnot, because people fight.
And reporters are not going to put out the NFL business unless they have to.
They want to make sure that they don't lose their seat at the party. You know how that goes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what they want, their seat at the table. And they don't care when the next set of questions are asked. Are they going to ask it to Bruce Allen? Are they going to ask it to Robert Kraft?
Hell no.
You know, they're going to be dismissed. The media works for them. Nobody in Boston is going to say, Robert Kraft, did you get that? Was you trying to get a blowjob down there in Miami? Fuck no, they're not going to ask that. And Bruce Allen, as far as Bruce Allen's concerned, they're not going to ask him stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, consider this. Consider the time period in which they talked about, at least at the end of 2018, that no one's talked about, is the fact that who was Bruce Allen at the time? What team was he a GM of? Oh, it was Washington. Oh,
come on.
Wasn't a guy named Jay Gruden on that team somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. No,
that's right.
I'm not accusing him of anything, but he had that same strain. He didn't want to give a black quarterback. Haskins, who contributed to the problem itself, but there was that strain there all along, and that I got to commend Keyshawn Johnson, because Keyshawn Johnson let it out when people want to condemn him and vilify him, call him a fraud, and said, really? This is who this guy is.
See, Patrick, there you go. There you go, giving them freaking facts again.
It's his attitude and arrogance is the prototype of white privilege, and they don't want to admit it. But more importantly, when you put him aside, the other information that comes out of those emails will make that look like a footnote. And I'm telling you, the owners told Goodell, I don't care if he call you a pussy. That's what he called him to. On a couple of emails.
Patrick,
I don't care what it says, but we are going to not let these other emails out, because some owners are going to be embarrassed in ways that you can't possibly imagine.
Patrick, this is more like the JFK assassination. You're not going to hear the files on this shit made available to motherfuckers until 50 years from now.
And there's going to be a trail of bodies. And Mike, there's going to be a trail of bodies along the way as well.
That's right. They don't give a fuck. And we're talking about so-called sports entertainment? I don't think so. The only people that are being entertained are these same rednecks that's perpetrating this shit. They got caught, Mike, guess what else?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick was right again.
That's right.
Sure.
That's exactly right. All of these things lead to the fact that Gruden getting taken out of the picture was a pimple on the butt, like Professor said.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot more pimples on their booties.
Lord,
and I don't think they're going to get popped. Unless somebody does something really stupid. Because remember, the NFL is protected by the press now. It's not the other way around like it should be. Unless somebody thinks they're going to get a hard-knocking major scoop, they're not going to roll with that. The New York Times, they'll roll with token shit, but they ain't going to let it happen. Washington Post, same thing.
Michael.
And this is for a 501c6 corporation. The NFL is not for profit. That's what it's listed on the book at. Y'all deal with that. They're professional.
Yeah, We'll send James to London for food.
You were expecting what out of these people? Because have you looked at this? You know, there's this idea that size doesn't matter. Have you looked at the size of the newspapers lately?
Come on. That's right.
Have you looked at the size of magazines lately?
Yep.
Have you looked at the level of advertising on broadcast news?
You're right.
And the level of competition among
going through the roof.
Starting starting with your big four, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox.
far as
new
moves
contract just signed, Fred. No,
right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that and you sort of step back and you take those and sit them to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on PBS. There's news on at least two channels on PBS now. So that's you've gone from carte blanche to having to share with five. Any of those entities have to share with five others.
Yep.
And in contributions or ad sales.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as much as the big four, along with PBS, the two PBS entities, love you people, they can't go but so far on your behalf simply because they will be broke.
True.
Because you know y'all don't support nothing.
That's right.
You raise bills, you burn stuff down, you know, and you walk up and you put, you know, you litter the streets. But you don't, you know, you don't buy advertising.
Yep.
And because of that, in today's environment, you have to go whole hog the way the hogs want you to go. And unfortunately, what gets lost in all of that is the whole thing falls right back to, hey, we got to, you know, even though our editors and whatnot are working from home, we still got to pay them.
Yeah.
We got stringers, you know, because you'd be amazed how many stringers you see today where you used to see, say, half a dozen. And as a matter of fact, I know one person at the at one of the games was stringing for four different newspapers.
Yeah. It's like temporary workers. They know now they can fan their work out at a cheaper rate and maybe get the same quality. You know, they don't care. They already know what's going on, and the league is reflective of that. If we go to Dallas, we see that the Dallas Cowboys are winning, but Jerry Jones he's grinding his teeth because that black motherfucker that he has as his quarterback is winning games. He don't want no brother winning games. He would rather not accept the Super Bowl if Dak was the quarterback. They can say what the fuck they want, but they've exposed their whole mindset. All the black quarterbacks that are out here, we know they despise Jackson. They know they don't really know what to make of Mahomes, but, you know, they'll tolerate him because he's already won. Russell Wilson, and you know, I don't want to call people's names out, but I remember somebody saying he was a corny brother. He's a corny brother. Why? Because he plays well, because he wants to live life a certain way, because he's got a fine-ass wife. You know, whoever said that needs to shut the fuck up. And it was a black
Mike, if he's corny, I was going to make a corn joke about him and his wife, but I won't go there. But I'm just saying, I'll take being corny with his bank account and what he's got going for him.
Put me on the fucking cob. That's right.
Yeah,
and the butter and
really.
Everything else. Fuck that noise.
That's known as black internal hatred. I mean, we see
exactly
it all the time. Unfortunately.
The Woody Lynch
has struck again.
And remember they want, especially them, the ones that want to keep their seats at those places. You know, hey, I'll come right out and say it. We had a writer years ago covered the NFL, and he basically said, you know, you don't go against the family. And it was like the family.
That's right.
Tony,
I call it the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because one of the guys facing one time, when he said that, I said, well, matter of fact, we did a piece on a guy I played with that was All-American and Hall of Famer, Rich Glover, who just retired recently. Well, I did a piece with Rich Glover. And I got footage from Nebraska and the NFL for about 26 seconds.
Mm.
So I said, my director was going crazy. Patrick, you know, the NFL ain't going to get us because we're non-profit. If we were profit, they've been knocking on our door, on our house door, looking for their money.
Full disclosure. You know, last year when we started the Field Generals series, you know, we were using stuff from NFL.com. Now, all of those videos are cannot be used without exclusive rights of the, you know, the National Football League now.
And they will find you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They will find you.
Remember when they went after the churches a couple of years ago for having a Super Bowl party?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on,
mm-hmm.
y'all. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Those algorithms that they got out there, you know, can smell a fart from here to China.
Yep. I can smell Robert Kraft from here.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Or as Kenny Rogers would say, oh, yeah.
Excuse me, Mike. I want to reach out to both Fred and Reg and get
Please.
Their review of
Here comes
the important intersection of athletics in this state of Alabama between Jackson State and Alabama State. I'm trying to get your opinion on the game. Was it close?
Which game?
Just before the singer said, "Oh, say can you see?" I think that's it. Stop right there.
Ooh. Oh, you're talking about the fiasco that occurred at Alabama A&M's homecoming. The last time something like that happened that I can remember. That's of a historic nature. I think his name was George Armstrong Custer. and if you saw what I posted some on Cavill's thing last night, I hate it for him and I hate it for all around. But you know. There's a busload of Cornell's classmates who went down to see him because, you know, the founder of Alabama A&M is actually from Fayetteville. And they went down to celebrate, you know, and they turned out. But, you know, so much of what's going on there is not a beef between the coaches. It's good for the media to play back and forth with that. But as far as the coaches are cool, actually pretty cool.
Well, Deion did get him a nice scooter, so I'm pretty sure that he appreciated that.
At least it was pink and honor of breast cancer month. So God bless the brother for that.
He couldn't find it in A&M colors, unfortunately, from what I heard.
Hey, but Professor, what's your thoughts with a lot of these schools out here, especially North Carolina Central, telling people that they can only come on the practice field and watch the Jumbotron and homecoming games? I think still this COVID-19, I don't know how this is down where you guys are, but it's still kind of running rapid up here in Virginia. And I just think seeing all those people at Texas A&M versus Alabama, and that's a peachy distance, Oklahoma versus Texas, I'm like, you guys, COVID numbers going to be off the chain in a couple of weeks.
A couple of days.
No, I mean, Reg, well, gentlemen, let me tell you something. You have so many. I can't say they're lies because they're not saying anything. But you know, you got a crazy situation out there, and you have a lot of people out here, at the very least sick, if not dying.
And thank you.
Fortunately, we're supposed to be getting a vaccine for the really young people in the next few days.
Yeah, 5 years old.
And hopefully that will help
cover, because see, right now those see that's a lot of what's going in. I mean, although their resistance is better than older people, but you know you still got Bubba out there who got rats, and he don't want to, you know, he wants.
Guys, I guess, you know, that sort of leads into the elephant from Brooklyn in the room.
Come on.
What do we make of Kyrie? What do we make of Kyrie?
The brother got a big bank account. He ain't got to play. That's what it tells me. I hope he invests his money. That's all I got to say.
I can only say what my father, God rest his soul in heaven, I miss every day. And Pop used to say, boy, let me tell you something. You know, when you get to the point where you think your stuff don't stink, God got a way of making you smell it.
Yes, 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 yep, 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 yep,
as a non NBA purist, I think the boy got some issues that he don't want to admit to himself.
I agree.
It's not about basketball. I mean, mm-hmm. This is why these kids need to go to school for 4 years. Because they ain't got no sense. And think about it. Some of these cats still running around listening to Ray Ray
I'm not black. I'm OJ.
Exactly. You see, all those cats out there who are going in that direction, because you know what you're running into. They're the ones that's ending up sick. They did a report today. I caught it at lunchtime today on the number of police officers who are not taking the vaccine.
Yep.
Do you see how many bodies? Hey. They ain't got to worry about shooting niggas no more, because ain't going to be none of them around if they keep going the way they're going. Because they're going down left and right, and they've had five or six times more police officers in the state of North Carolina have died. Matter of fact, this year, I think there have been three or four police officers shot in North Carolina, and they got 30-something of them that have died of COVID, and these are the ones they have been able to verify, because across the border from us in South Carolina, down further in Georgia, and down even further in Florida, and over a little further to the left in Texas and Louisiana, they don't even report the numbers. So there's no way of knowing accurately. Because the governors have stifled the information. But at the same time, though, they have been able to verify that police officers who have been unvaccinated are falling like flies. And there was this one poor lady on the TV over the weekend. She buried her husband. He was a police lieutenant in 18 years in, and she made this speech to the media, and she said she wished he had listened because he didn't have to die. I mean, I don't know neither one of them, but it hit home real hard, because she was so right. You know, at least the vaccination would have allowed him some level of protection, but no, he didn't want anything. And when it got him and got into his lungs, he was one of the people that they had shown on TV on a ventilator a couple of weeks ago. Problem was, you know, when somebody's on a ventilator, you can't tell who they are, and they don't show their names or anything. But lo and behold, guess what? 2 weeks later, he's gone.
And Fred, your point's well taken. Because you know what, Fred? Where is Kyrie from, Wrigley from? Brooklyn. What is wrong? Well, your point about some folks just, you know, in the words of the great Marcus Messiah Garvey, when he said, education is more what you get rid of than what you keep. These people, what makes you think that you're at a particular level where your psyche can have you say, well, I'm representing the underappreciated. Wait a minute. You got the best medical care in the world around you as in that league. Per game, you make $285,000 per game. And you're walking around talking about, well, I'm protecting the boy, get your ass down, please.
You really want to speak for us unprotected? Spend some of that love, huh? Spend some of that federal green.
That Duke education that sets them apart from everyone.
I'm telling you.
You talking about misguided morality?
Take that jab or lose your salary of $31 million. Now, you don't have to go to Duke to make your mind up as to what you're going to do. And he did it. So the bottom line here is that, as the million-dollar man used to say,
everyone has a price.
And he just happened to be a little bit higher than others. But make no bones about it, they're not going to care about anything unless their agenda carries over.
And I'm glad the Nets management said, no, you can't do nothing. When you're vaccinated, come holler at us. And his contract is up at the end. The first part of the contract is up at the end of this year. It'll be interesting what they see at the end of this year if they don't win a championship.
Two things, gentlemen. If any of you all have the phone number or the cell number of a quarterback who used to wear number, I think he wore number one and played in Charlotte, you might want to connect him about that. And the other thing is this. Okay.
Unfortunately, he's too busy being an extra in the Help Part Two, but that's a whole other story in and of itself.
You better hope they need two extras. But see, where does Urban? Who does Urban play for?
Oh, the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay. So he can only play, New York has what? The Knicks, the Nets.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Okay. Theoretically.
Here we go. Professor using SAT words again.
Okay. What other basketball teams are in the state of New York?
No,
those two.
So
in essence, he's gonna end up having to play somebody like Fordham or Columbia.
I forgot the Harlem Globetrotters.
They just keep
Washington General.
Okay, they just came through. We don't have to work with it. But see, my point is this. Does he not know that, okay, if he is in, he's in Brooklyn, he's playing in Brooklyn, what happened when they have to go on the road?
Oh, no, they're not, you know, he will not pass go. The team has already said.
There you go.
In the words of Jimmy Carter, he will stay.
Okay. And build them houses. That's what I tell them. Build them houses.
And quite frankly, Stephen A. Smith said something very important to me about Kyrie. He said, wait a minute. Last year, he got hurt right before the season he was out.
Mm-hmm.
Then the bubble hit, and you didn't see him until December. And then when he got back in December, he was off another 2 weeks. He said, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. He don't want to play, so he want to play. And the next
one, guys, look, I might as well just go ahead and come clean.
Come on.
Kyrie Irving is pregnant. Kyrie Irving is pregnant.
Did Ben have that baby yet?
Look, my lawyers have instructed me apparently my lawyer works for the guy that does the IT for the NFL, so we're only going to release just what we want to release.
Okay, T-Mac, one other question, since you seem to be knowledgeable about Tyree. He played for Duke 1 year, correct? Did
allegedly.
He not get hurt that year?
Allegedly. Yes, he did. Oh. Yeah, I think he played
he was on campus,
eight games? Eight games?
He didn't play the whole season.
Oh, no, he didn't play the season at all. Yeah, he played eight games.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So he was on campus during that time.
You couldn't go through the library without seeing Kyrie. That has nothing to do with the fact that the only place that the vending machines were, but I digress. It's crazy because
Kevin's telling you be hearing this on ESPN Sports Center. They're going to say if Kyrie Irving was walking in the library at Duke University.
I know. Kyrie was walking in a bookshelf on him. I know.
And Tony, this is what will happen. Kyrie,
oh, God.
With his $190 million contract left, will say, I'm going to dedicate 10 million to Duke Library, so my name can be on it.
That ain't enough money. Sorry, man. This ain't an HBCU. That ain't enough money. That won't get him a chance to lobby.
It's not. Okay, if he used one of those study rooms, he can get his name put on that for about that amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could.
I have been to Duke football games years ago, and if your contribution wasn't six figures, you know, at homecoming, they didn't mention you.
No bleep, huh?
Homecoming sounds more like bank coming. Take that shit to the bank.
That's what it is.
Doing the timeouts and stuff, they would announce gifts from this group and that group. Because there's one group, this group of doctors, one of them got killed in World War II. Mm-hmm. And these guys were there in training during the time of the secret game. Anyway, although they were not connected other than they were all doctors in training, one of the guys got killed, and when they started practicing, they started saving up money and out of scholarship, 1992, whatever my nephew's senior year was, that endowment was producing over $1 million a year.
Here in Yale country, there's always some dead relative or dead presidents down here. I mean, all of it this way. The only way Yale would lose money is if one of them gives $900,000 instead of their regular $1 million that they get.
Having said that, gentlemen, you know that I am not one to instigate.
No, Mike doesn't.
Heaven forbid. Go ahead.
No, guys,
Lamb on your shoulder.
As Mike has always said, Mike does not repeat gossip. You have to hear that shit right the first time. That's the whole thing.
Mike, is what? That Lamb on your shoulder? That's what I know. Is that Lamb on your shoulder when you talk?
That's Landlin. That's right. That's our intern. But I got to give credit. Credit to the brothers at the African American Athletes because they brought this one up. Gentlemen, Nevada is a right to work state, is it not?
Yes, it is. I believe so, yes.
Okay, yep. So. Because of the way the information came out, they didn't have to say anything. They could have just said, Chucky, it's been a slice. Your ass is fired. So that adds another aura of mystery to this because shit shut down immediately. They forced them to resign. So you know, all of those emails or whatever, it's some heavy shit. We already know they talked about queers and all that shit. And, of course, they had a problem with Michael Sam's moist ass, and he had a problem with Oprah, the dumb fuck. And then we also had the knowledge that the head of the union has Michelin man lips. Now, you know you've heard brothers talk about little lips and big lips and you bang your lips. Now, I've never heard Michelin lips. Have you guys? I ain't never heard that one.
No. I actually missed the meeting on the Michelin lips myself. So there, I didn't hear that.
That's from that no good cracker. What can we
exactly.
say?
That's a designer. That's a designer redneck quote. In regards to
cracker quote from a cracker.
That's exactly right. So we have finished our notes, and we have taken down our information, and as we have presented to the court has read our paper, and we are proceeding as follows.
Harum, 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 harum.
Harum, harum, harum.
Come on, let's go. Thank you.
Landon was a little slow on that one.
Just a tad.
Landon tightened his ass up. Landon got tightened his ass up. What's wrong, man?
All right, if it please the motherfucking court,
man.
We are trying John and Jay Gruden for five counts of assholery.
All right.
Dumb fuck.
Wait a minute. I gotta look that word up.
Is that
a verb or an adjective? Which is that? Is that an action word?
Guilty.
Of scumbaggery in first degree.
Assholery. That's first syllable?
Here's a question. If you go through, I went through about 7 shows just to get particularly led by white commentators.
You're a masochist.
And how they answer questions.
Cracker.
This is always amazing. When they ask this question, they say,
is John Gruden racist? Oh no, he's not racist.
Is the Pope Catholic?
The sad thing is, Patrick, they'd have more credibility if they said, "Can it Corey Apple?" Yes, it can Corey Apple.
Well, you know what they say?
If
a wolf like a duck and quacks like a duck,
Hey, Patrick, what do you say people are saying is cancer culture that he got fired? What do you say those jackasses sending emails to sports commentators?
Oh, look here. Here's what's worse, Grinch. Here's what's worse. You got Donald Trump Jr. talking about we need
John
Gruden. That tells you all you need to know about cancer culture right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The cokehead calling somebody
in the words of that buzzard, that's all I need to know.
I am so jealous. Damn, I'm so jealous of you guys. I had too much fun. This is too much for me.
Oh boy.
Did we lose Michael?
It looks like we chipped. I'm here. It's like chipping at the rock at Gibraltar with a butter knife. We all know that. We all know this. But the most important thing here is that we know we're going to talk about stuff that mainstream media won't speak on. We'll put out speculations that mainstream media won't want to touch. And it's the spirit of writers, ancestors, who know. They put us here to hold it down because we know better. And once we know, it's our job to pass it on and let everybody else do what the fuck they do with it. And we know this isn't over. And all we know is the slice of reality that the NFL just gave everybody. The rank and file of the players are niggas. We'll treat them like niggas. We'll pay them, but we'll treat them like niggas. And Lamar Jackson throwing for 440 yards was just as niggerish as Patrick Mahomes throwing touchdowns to win the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter whether he's light-skinned or dark-skinned, they're both niggers. We know that. And all those wannabe talking heads, whether it's Michael Hill or Stephen A. Smith or any of the other motherfuckers, they're all niggers. They tell you that. Don't act like you don't know. They tell you that. The only way to let them know what time it really is to stay in their ass. If you're collecting a check from them, don't fake like you are really upset by all this. We don't need any frosted frauds and fakes like you guys. You know, just cash a check and suck whatever dick you're sucking and leave it at that. But for those who really are trying to make sure.
Thank you for that imagery, Mike. I'll be up till 6 in the morning now.
But for those who
are really trying to make a difference, I'm not just talking about us, to my Ricky's mm-hmm. group,
Black Authority, Professor Black Truth, other folks like that, real black media, we need to follow up with that. We need to be able to make sure we state for the real. The NFL is about white supremacy. We know that. They just approach their shit in a different way. And Professor Fred, when he talked about sports entertainment, he bookmarked that shit. Because that's exactly what it is. We'll entertain you. We're no different than the slaves of one plantation who went over to another plantation to see whose buck could beat the other guy's buck in a contest, you know. And because he wins, he gets that little crib guy later on at night. All of these images are consistent. Some people may not want to see that or want to envision that because it's gone back to days gone by. But that's exactly what we're up against. And you can't ignore that.
Light.
You can't ignore it even if you want to. So, having said that, I appreciate the fact that the crew came on here to provide some good food for thought. We had to suffer some white noise, and it did not deter us. They tried to stop us from logging in. And Blog Talk Radio, you fucked up because I said 6 months, give me 6 months of no drama, and I'll upgrade. But you made it clear. You don't want us to succeed. You cause problems on purpose, and I say to every one of you in that executive office, when you listen to this, fuck you. and I mean that with all sincerity. Now, having said that, let's get to the final thoughts. Reggie, please be so kind to lead us off.
Well, we're hearing crazy ads because November, and by the way, I already voted early in Virginia, so I got my vote out the way. But it's really comical when I hear certain people run ads and saying, you know, black folks, you guys are really threatened by the Second Amendment. I said, when the fuck the Second Amendment ever helped us? Really? Come on, give me a break. That's a fucking joke. And then we see this poor mother crying because her son, who's a prominent doctor, body floats up in the river. But yet you got some crazy-ass judge in Tennessee that's putting young black kids in prison, 4, 5, 6 years old, and now all of a sudden the heat is finally coming down. Oh, we saw that shit back in Pennsylvania. Remember, Mike, some years ago when they run the Hustler and got in prison, and they was getting kickbacks. My. As time goes on, the game is still the same. Lock niggas up and get them.
By the way, Gary, Reggie, did you vote for Donald or Goofy? That's all I really wanted to find out.
Daffy Duck. I put Daffy Duck every time.
Daffy's a man of the people.
And when that didn't work, I put none of the above like Richard Pryor did. And they said, nope, your ballot been declined.
Mm-hmm. I tend to ride with Daffy Duck because he is a brother. Quack Lives Matter. So, yes, I'm down with Daffy. You're despicable.
Oh, Lordy. I am so fucking jealous of you guys. I had too much fun.
Mike, that was one of the best of all time. Quack Lives Matter. Yeah.
I got to write that shit down. I'm writing it down.
Two things, real quickly. One is the fact that because of the coverage of the game between Alabama and Jackson State, one thing I noticed I'm seeing the production of the games around the games has increased exponentially.
Particularly the
productions around the game, getting information. They've gotten some technological improvements to make it look better, which caused Deion Sanders to say, "When's ESPN going to take us off ESPN 55 and put us on one or two?" You know something? It might sound crazy, but it might happen.
They call them the money. They know what time it is. And not just the SWAC, the MEA, CIAA, and SIAC.
That's right. The last one is this. From March 20th last year to June of this year, 2020, there were accumulation of 453 billionaires, new billionaires.
What?
I'll say it again. Between March of 2020 to June of 2021, during the pandemic, 453 billionaires were established. Now, all the money that they put together is going to where? It's going to dumping into college endowments. Schools like Brown has increased like 35%. Schools like Princeton has increased 55% of endowments. Guys,
like they
needed
it.
Yeah,
like
they needed
it. Wow.
The point is, the fact that they're dumping that kind of money into these schools, where is it coming to HBCU schools and other small colleges that need it?
That's some heavy shit. Professor, come on in.
Well, first of all, Winston-Salem State won, so Trudebecker is spit and all that other stuff.
God bless him.
Run the table, and you got to trip to Salem.
Nah, the table ain't that long. But with what Patrick was just talking about, you know, one of the things that I have discovered, and what I'm doing now is actually working towards that. There's some ways that our schools don't know how to, or don't like to use to generate money, because they don't like quote unquote selling stuff. They just want people to give. I call it, they just want to go out and beg for money. That ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
This series of books and some other things that we're doing are going to actually produce $10 billion or more, and it's all in the works. It's just a matter of getting it rolling. And the other side of that is they have to be, you know, they have to be shown a new way. You all know that, you know, I am not a fan of Mr. Sanders for several reasons, but certain components of what he's doing.
I never got that feeling that he didn't like what he was doing. I never got that feeling at all.
I thought you really liked
that guy. I really did.
Just stop.
There's certain aspects of what he's saying and doing is beneficial, and because of that, you know, I respect him for that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, you know, I think he has gotten on a learning curve that's helping him. So some of the stupid stuff he was saying out of ignorance about HBCUs, he's getting better. And so for that, I applaud him. But, you know, like I said, he made that comment about, you know, this is the best, what he said, the best recruiting class in the history of Jackson State. And I'm thinking, okay, so you got – 3 Hall of Famers out there on your team at one time. You got 13 draft choice or free agent signees on there at one time. No, I've seen enough of them play. It's much better than it's supposed to be, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Like I said, you know, all of these things will work together for good. For the good of HBCUs, because you got people coming from different directions, people who have money, who have not given until now are giving. I'm getting help from people now that I don't, you know, who haven't lifted a finger before. So it's all,
hey,
it's all
God,
you know,
is good.
Can work out.
Amen.
Big picture. You can get it. You can get in touch with me at blackheritagereview.com. I'm on Facebook. The HBCU Heritage Center on Facebook, as well as Black Heritage Review, are both on Facebook. That's the best way, and we'll work from there.
Yes, sir. www.blackheritagereview. And Fred, as a parting shot, I must ask you, in which situation would you prefer to hit Deion? Would it be on change of possession via interception or on a kickoff?
I would like to be coming around the corner because I know he's going to lay down.
Ouch.
To be nice about it, when I first saw it, it was on Monday Night Football. Cowboys were playing the Cardinals. And this guy named Leon Sanders came around the corner. And homeboy laid down because center stepped on it.
Hey. Brother made a business decision. He had to go both ways then.
I heard that. To be continued. Big G, come on in here and put some good shit in the pot.
All right. Last week, October 7th, the Dayton Police Department stopped Clifford Ordsby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's right.
Mr. Ormby said,
"Yanked him out."
I can't use my legs.
Yep.
Yeah. I saw that shit.
He said, get out of the car. Army said, I can't use my legs. Officer dragged him out of the car.
Yep.
Dragged him 25 feet to the police officer's car and threw him into the police car.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is police brutality.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You
no
know
doubt.
The guy is a paraplegic. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Yep.
Where's the vice
white
president?
Guy.
You hey, where's
believe.
The vice president of the United States? And there's no racism. Where is she?
Nowhere
to be found.
This case is going to be a real big mess.
Yep.
Because Mr. Ormby is going to sue the police department.
And he should.
That's right, he should. Because he re-injured his back. We had no reason to do that.
So much for black folks taking
okay,
men's rights.
I'm going to tell you something. This happened to me in 1968.
Yeah, I remember you told me, Gary. Yeah, I remember.
Alabama, around midnight.
Mm-hmm. Told you about going out after midnight. Told you about that.
Alabama state troopers stole my car.
Yep.
He got my dad's car, got my mom's car, got my sister's car.
Mm-hmm.
Officer said, boy, why can't you get out of the car? I said, officer, I am disabled. I can't move. My dad opened the trunk of the car. And thank God, the wheelchair on top of in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what happened. They didn't see that wheelchair.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a damn shame.
No good ever goes this weekend. No,
Music. Yeah, brother, you got to tighten that computer up, Gary. What's the problem?
I know.
Tighten your ass up, Gary. Look, I know John Gruden got you a morning, Gary. Tighten your ass up.
Gary, call that NFL guy. I heard he's good on computers.
Gary, I got one question for you, Gary. Tomorrow night, Josh gets his daughters. Who you rooting for? Thank you very much.
I won the Dodgers win because of the manager. I wanted to make it 3-1, but I wanted the Giants to. I'm really torn.
What you a politician or something, Gary? Come
I'm
on.
Torn, man.
Get off the set. It's not a politician.
Cool.
Let's send him a McCarthy vote for who he wants to vote for. Leave Senator McCarthy alone.
Thank you.
Hey, Gary, thanks for giving that beachfront property back to the brothers, man. Good job.
Thank you very much.
I'm proud of you.
There you go. Grand Upper Cove goes dark this weekend. Stir Fry will be on Saturday at 2. T-Mac, come on.
Johnny B. Baker Jr.
Yes, sir.
Look. I had a full disclosure. I said San Fran and White Sox in the World Series. Sorry, Mr. LaRusso. You can rest your sore butt now for the next 4 or 5 months. I guess
that brother hitting the sauce already, T.
This way, you heard, you know, when the seventh inning stretch came along yesterday, that was no bomb you heard. That was a burp. But, you know, what do I know?
That's just wrong.
Here's the thing. Are you still telling me that they're cheating? Are you still telling me that they're cheating? Now, with everybody and their mama looking at every one of their moves, why would they still cheat? They're not cheating. They're in their Let me do my best Gary doing LeBron impersonation. This is not, they're going to their, not their first, not their second, not their third, not their fourth,
but their fifth straight ALCS.
And Dusty
now,
back to back.
Please, all the garbage men and all the garbage cans in the world couldn't keep Humpty Dumpty up.
You know,
what makes you think that this team is just that good? If Mr. Baker's baby boy can bring home the World Series, I'm fine with it. And I hope that he will go out in the sunset and just says, thank you, I'm good.
And go back.
Amen.
Go back to his wine farms where he's making wines up in California.
There you go.
Being very picturesque.
T-Mac, an important question to you. Since they fired your manager of the Mets, which I thought was stupid, whom do you think can lead this team back to the promised land?
I'm damn near close to saying the Chris Rock answer of Pat Riley, but
Ain't Willie Randolph back? Can Willie Randolph still coach?
I don't even think they'll let him in the Diamond Club. It might be easier if I say who I don't want. I do not want Buck Showalter anywhere near that.
Oh, hell no.
Now, I already said I'm going to draw a line in the sand. If they hire Mr. Moneyball, I'd rather them hire Brad Pitt than hire Billy Dean at this point in time. Right now. I know.
Who you saying, Patrick? Who you saying gonna hire?
Oscar, it looks like it's Billy's job to say that he wants it.
There you go. Because the guy Cohen, he wants to be in the back pages of the paper every day, not
That's
only
right.
for his team, but more than he makes choices, more than
That's
other
right.
companies and other entities. That's why.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Put it this way. For the first time in a long time, I am contemplating my fandom.
No!
That's
serious.
That ain't so
Where's Billy Randolph when you need him? My God.
Dwight
Gooden on line two, D.
They're just calling me before I call them, but it's
I know,
you know
that's right.
Yes, sir.
T-Mac, you can always go, you know, you can always become a Pirate fan, and then your season has been over.
See the scary thing with rooting for the Pirates is they may actually call my bluff and make me pitch game four. So I can't.
I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan. My season's over the second week of the season.
Tony, I got Lord Charles on line two. We suck again.
I'm not getting a good vibe from the off season because I just
What you crying about? I'm an Oriole fan. What you crying about? But Reg,
you and them two other guys could at least share that one cigarette. I mean, you know.
There you go.
We're on
that 20-year rebuilding.
Half the team I want to come back is deceased. So, you know, Willie Stargell and all of them.
Big Willie
Stargell
and
the boys.
At least they can wake Brooks Robinson up out of a nice sleep and say, come talk to the people, Brooks. Oh, okay.
Come on. There you go. You know what, guys? I think
I'm so jealous of y'all. Damn, I'm jealous.
This show is a microcosm of what we see in society all the time. That sometimes it comes right at us hard, and sometimes it's soft and subtle. And I think we had a bit of both of this. We have an organization that would take my money and yet not give me proper service, and also would make efforts to try to interrupt. And this happens every time when a significant story comes down the pipe. So you know, the stubborn Taurus in me says, you motherfuckers ain't going to get away with this. But the other side of me says, I'm tired of this shit. And I know one day one side's going to win, but it ain't going to be today. So in the spirit of those who came before, who do this stuff, who did this stuff, who put up with that stuff, I continue to go on. Because this simulation of humanity sucks. I'm tired of having to put up with it. I'm not a big drinker. So I might have one drink behind this, but I ain't going to have a whole bunch of drinks because I made up with the
children. Is Leo, you going to have your drink too?
I'm not yet. Well, Lannan and I might have a nip. You know, I've never been a drug user or anything like that. So if I light up a bud, yeah, I might have a puff or two, but that would be it because I wouldn't just smoke for the sake of smoking. My point is,
amen.
You motherfuckers ain't going to get me for the sake of working my motherfucking nerves. We already know what you are. We're in the Matrix, and we're going to get out of the Matrix in the same shape because you motherfuckers ain't going to stop what we do. Simple as that. This goes out to all the black press who are righteous in what they're trying to do to make sure that we get the story, to make sure that people are informed, and also make sure that we're not quiet because, as the professor says, we need to tell our own stories.
Amen.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress? I was... Look again. Freeze it. This isn't the Matrix.
No. It's another training program designed to teach you one thing. If you are not one of us, you are one of them.
What are they?
Sentient programs. They can move in and out of any software still hardwired to their system. That means that anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one.
No one.
We have survived by hiding from them, by running from them. But they are the gatekeepers. They are guarding all the doors. They are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
I've seen an agent punch through a concrete wall. Men have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. Yet their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. Trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
We got trouble.
Zion send a warning?
No, another ship.
Shit.
Squiddy, sweeping in quick.
Squiddy.
A sentinel. Killing machine designed for one thing.
Search and destroy.
Set her down right over there.
we doing, Tank?
Power offline. EMP.
Armed. Ready.
EMP.
Electromagnetic pulse. Disables any electrical system in the blast radius. It's the only weapon we have against the machine. Hundreds of miles. Now these sewers are all that's left of them.